I'm going to hand things over to my colleague, Dr. Levin, who's going to talk about what do you tell the patients and their families when that injury has occurred? Dr. Levin. You're welcome.
Good morning. So one of my teachers said complications should sit on the edge of your bed at night. And you just heard a very directed overview about how we have to think. And I don't have any slides. In preparation for this, I thought I'd take you into the clinic and have you meet a patient. And I want all of you, first of all, I'm going to raise my hand. How many of you have, I'll use the term inadvertently, not something you put in the op note, but how many of you have injured a nerve in the process of operating? Okay? So when I say I applaud the hands going up, see my friend Nick Vedder back there, it happens. It happens. But the reason I'm showing you this video is I want you to look at the part from the patient's perspective. So here we go. This is a guy that came to me. His name is Rick Smith. We have permission to show him. And I'm going to spend about 15 minutes just going over his story. We fixed him. He's doing great. But this was all sort of a nightmare for him. And I just want you to listen.
So, Mr. Smith, how long ago did you cut this?
Well, that's not working. Hold on a second here. Do we have audio, Charles? So I guess I could talk about the Red Sox or stock market or... Craig, I don't know, but this is not hooked up. Charles, is there anybody out there?
There does get you want to try?
I'm just trying again.
Set the light.
I just made your...
Well, y'all can tell me in the back if it's working.
So, Mr. Smith,
can you hear back there?
I guess it was 2.5 years ago.
Okay. And tell me, how did you come to have your neck operated on?
Well, I had a swollen lymph node.
When was it exactly?
Right here in my neck. And it was...
Right up here.
And it was persistently swollen, so that my regular doctor said I should go and have a needle biopsy in case it was cancer-related.
Mm-hmm.
They did that. Needle biopsy, and then it showed no issues, and they surgeon recommended that we take out the lymph node. I was told it would be a simple, so they make a little slit, pull it out, and that there were no risks. My physician, I don't think had ever heard of the spinal accessory nerve. He said there were absolutely no risks, no lifestyle risks.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in for the biopsy.
This was a general surgeon?
It was a cancer surgeon, really.
Okay, okay.
And
you're an attorney, right?
I am an attorney.
Yeah, okay.
And so went in, went under general anesthesia, and I woke up. I mean, I was surprised that the incision was much larger than I expected.
Uh-huh.
Was like more than an inch long, and it didn't sound like a simple slit. But it wasn't until the next morning I was sore that night. I just attributed it to the process. And the next morning, I was still sore. I went to put the other on and raise my arm, and I noticed there was a lump. I now know it was the bone out of place.
Yeah.
But there was no concavity in my under every morning. I put my deodorant on, and it works. I think about that.
Okay.
And so I knew something was wrong. And I called my regular physician. He said, well, I don't know anything that could be causing that. you know, maybe there's some pooling of blood down in there. Like, you know, so he went a few days, and so I went in after a few days, and he still didn't know what could possibly cause the contamination. And he basically said, well, maybe they injured your shoulder, like, you know, when you were unconscious, they moved you.
Yeah, you might have been manipulated on the MRI.
Right. So he actually had me go in for an MRI to see if I had an injury to the soft shoulder. He still didn't know what the hell was going on. And then I went for the follow-up appointment with the surgeon, and I told him what's going on. And he said, well, I may have bumped the spinal accessory nerve.
May have
bumped it, but it should, you know, recover. And so I went back to my regular doctor, and I told him that he may have bumped the spinal accessory nerve, and I looked, and he had went blank, and I said, you don't know what that is, do you? And he said, literally, well, you know, general practitioners, general practitioners, so they're lousy at that. So he sends me in to a guy who did testing.
EMG?
An EMG, right. Yeah. So I got an EMG.
This is a couple of weeks after the surgery, right?
Yeah, it was actually, by the time I had the follow-up, it was almost a month.
Yeah.
The EMG showed that the shoulder was paralyzed. Their plan for me was to wait 3 months in case it had been just bumped or bruised and see what happened, right? So, you know, I was furious, among other things.
So this was interfering with your work as an attorney?
Well, I was in pain.
Yeah.
You know,
it was
a lot of pain. And it was interfering with everything. I couldn't sleep. I went to see, I'd been in psychotherapy a long time ago when I went through my divorce, I called the guy, I went back to him. I was having a real hard time dealing with it because I was just...
You were debilitated.
I was debilitated, I couldn't sleep, and also I just couldn't get around the fact that I'd been really healthy. And I went in, and the crowning thing is that I said to my general physician, I have, you know, psoriasis, and I've got an outbreak on my scalp, you know, could that be causing the swollen lymph node? And the results of the biopsy were that it was caused by my psoriasis. My regular doctor said, no, those are two different things.
Yeah.
Could not possibly.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking, here I was in good health.
Mm-hmm.
I go to a doctor, and I end up in terrible health. And my whole life, I'm looking at I'm going to be, you know,
yeah,
impaired.
Yeah.
My whole life, I'm a very active guy.
Yeah.
And I have been probably in good shape. I've been working out, eating well, and all of a sudden, so I was very depressed.
Yeah.
And
I understand that.
Yeah.
So what was the time course when all this happened?
So all of this was...
How long was it before you contacted me?
So it was about a month afterwards.
Okay, yeah. So you're about two and a half months in.
Yeah, no, actually, I think it was like, the operation was in December, and I think I spoke to you maybe at the beginning of February.
Okay, right. And I saw you pretty quickly.
You saw me immediately. And you said to me, we're going to go in there right away. I'm going to get you on the operating table right away. And we're going to take care of this.
You're a very young appearing.
66 years old.
Okay, but this was, a year and a half ago?
So I was like 64.
Yeah, 64. So we know, I think I told you, even if I could fix it, the likelihood of nerve coming back in your age category, independent of your finger and everything, was low. But we were very committed to at least exploring, can we find the nerve? If we find it, can we fix it? And so forth. And that's what we did.
That's what you did.
So, would you be kind enough just to slip your shirt off?
Sure.
Just real quick.
And as as you recall, you were able to do a primary attachment,
yeah.
I think because you got in there so fast.
Right, we did a primary repair.
Right.
So if I can just examine her here, So shrug your shoulders up. Okay, terrific. Relax. Trapezius now, remember how atrophic that was?
Right.
Your trap has come back, head to the side here. I push against my hand here. Other way. Okay, shoulders back. Okay, now push out straight for me. Push out straight. And so, relax. It looks like the gap here is a little stronger than this side over here. But this was totally concave. Put your shirt on. Totally concave, right? Totally atrophic. Shoulder pain. Don't make put words in your mouth.
No.
You got all those symptoms, right?
I had to go.
We lost the best part.
Described by my psychiatrist.
Yeah.
I did that for a year until it started.
How long did it take you? We fixed it. I told you what my findings were. We're gonna show that.
Yeah.
But when did you feel? From the time of nerve repair to when you thought, gee, I might actually be getting better, was there an immediate satisfaction coacting the nerves? Remember the neuroma pain?
Right.
The fact the nerve was cut. When did you start to feel like, wow, this may have helped me? But I know it wasn't immediate.
I mean, it was about a year, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what really alerted me to the, I mean, I had been in for subsequent examinations that hadn't improved, that was in doing physical therapy.
Yeah.
And what clued me that there might be a positive change is I started to feel different pain. I started feeling soreness in the trapezius, like it was working. And getting sore because it was
activated again.
Mm-hmm. So that's when I called you and came in, and you said that it was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And
I would say to you as a patient, and I think, you know, I certainly counseled you that probably even if we could find it,
right.
Fix it, might not work. This is the exception rather than the rule, fixing it. And I think the time course of fixing it as quickly as we can to that own injury is important. Sometimes, you know, give it time.
Right.
And meanwhile, the motor end plates and the muscle becomes more atrophic and deconditioned. And then even if the nerve starts to grow back into the muscle, the overall strength and so forth is, I think, not what I would anticipate here. So I think, you know, that was really, really good.
I'm incredibly lucky, but I also have to thank my surgeon for getting in there quickly and doing it right. And you know, it's made a huge difference to me. I can pick my grandchildren up and hold them up in the air. I can do everything that. Well, I've always have worked with wood, and
it's got a place up in Maine, right? Do wood work in the shop?
I have shop both homes, and when I still kept trying to do it, but with the pleasure of working, I was always in pain. But I kept doing it, and I felt that if I kept healthy, continued to eat right, and exercise, that would increase my chances of recovering.
Yeah.
But I tell you that I had to do all kinds of strategies, like I work a drill press for you to push up and down. I had to stand on a stool, so I would be pushing down rather than reaching up and pointing.
Right. Now you can do it, right?
Now I can do everything. And I get sore, but it's a different kind of soreness.
Yeah.
People don't understand chronic pain if they haven't experienced it, but it was so debilitating, depressing, and...
Let me ask you, when we're all happy you've had this recovery. What was the dialogue like with your primary surgeon at the end of the day? Was he dismissive, or was he aware that your nerve had been cut?
He was aware that it had been cut. He was very defensive. And, you know, he didn't want to have, and I said to him, you know, you told me there was no risk, and here I am, I'm screwed up, maybe for life. He was very defensive, and he said to me that I do everything exactly the same as I did before.
All right, so in the interest of time, I just wanted to give you the story. That's a patient. We were lucky. We intervened collectively in an, I'd say, relatively expeditious manner. We know, and my expert colleagues here on the podium, and all of you should know, obviously, the older a patient, the less likelihood of neural recovery, and quite frankly, I was surprised. The point is, you know, we have a lot of technology now. We can do nerve mapping. Obviously, microneural surgery has been around for 60 years. We have tissue glues. We have coupling devices. We still advocate work under the microscope. As you heard, never sew a nerve under tension. And we were able to get Mr. Smith back. But I think that the hallmark was for you to hear his story. This guy's a straight shooter. He's an attorney. There was no litigation involved, although I guess there could have been. But his legal colleagues recommended against a suit, and that's still another matter. But I thought to start the symposium, we would take you into the clinic and hear a story about iatrogenic nerve injury, and it's real. And this guy makes his living with his brain in a courtroom, not on the assembly line, but, you know, if he didn't get recovery and he would have been debilitated, there would have been a lot more morbidity to his story. So, Charles, I'm going to stand down and champion the development of microneural surgery and, again, emphasize your points that, you know, if you cut a nerve, just tell the patient, okay? Notify your risk carrier. I would do that if anything happens in my practice where I think, well, this might not go well. We have what we call in my institution the goal to avoid a surprise rate. We want to avoid surprise. So if I even think I had a little hematoma that needed to be evacuated, I'm a paranoid guy. I'll just tell the risk management in my institution, this happened, okay? And I've informed the patient, and how you document this is important. And the final thing is, you should run towards the patient with a complication. In my opinion, you run towards the patient. Complications should sit on the edge of your bed at night, and you see that patient, as distasteful as it is, once a week. Bring that patient back into the clinic. Mrs. Jones, Mr. Smith, how are you doing? We want to see you. I want to hear from you. And you should get worried if that patient one day doesn't show up for clinic. Have no hesitation about a second opinion. Look, I want you to see my colleague, Dr. Demanian, in Chicago. You know, I've done everything I can for you, and maybe he has some ideas. There are ways to handle this so that you continue to practice good medicine. The surgeon, who I don't know who it was exactly, did not practice good medicine, dismissing a patient who had a spinal accessory nerve cut. We photographed it. It wasn't dinged. If you think it's harmed, it's harmed. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you.